Age is a funny thing, isn't it? Age is a funny thing. How many of you have ever heard someone say, your age is just a number? Maybe you've said that yourself. Age is just a number. Or, it's just all about your mindset. It's all about your mindset. Sometimes you hear people say that. Or maybe, I'm 50 years old, but I feel like I'm 30. Maybe some 50-year-olds say that. Maybe. How come people never say they feel older than they actually are? I'm 30, but I feel 80. Like, people don't say that usually, Maybe they do. I don't know. I've never heard anyone say that. I actually remember the first time I heard a friend of mine say on their birthday that they were 50 years young. They're 50 years young. And I thought to myself, wait, didn't they mean to say old? I'm 50 years old? No, they said, they were X number of years young. And I'm sure you've heard someone say that, or again, maybe it's something you've said yourself. And maybe you say that when you get older and older, you say, I'm this young, instead of, I'm 22. I'm 22, because usually that's maybe how you sound. I'm 22, and you are young, so you don't have to say I'm 22 years young. You're just young, as it is. But, eventually maybe you start saying, I'm X number of years young. And of course, it's always kind of funny when you hear somebody say that. It's comical when someone says that. But the whole idea is that they're not putting the emphasis on old. They're instead putting the emphasis on that you're still young. They're still young. Now, many of you know and realize, because I've mentioned this before, you just may be in the know, that we are celebrating 70 years on the Sunshine Coast as a church. That Christian Life Assembly has been here. The Pentecostal Church has been on the Sunshine Coast for 70 years. And again, that I just get really excited about that. 70 years, that's a long time. Again, to be sharing the gospel message. And, the fact that there were people who had a vision to see a Pentecostal church planted here that would glorify the name of Jesus Christ over 70 years ago. Because it's not like they just thought about it and there it was. There was a vision. There was a vision. We want to see a Pentecostal church in this community to serve the Sunshine Coast. So over 70 years ago, there were people that just, God is leading us in this. And so they pursued that, and a church was established. And I remember reading some of the history. It was a slow process. People were, some of the things that I read was, people were hesitant. People were hesitant to come to the meetings. I think at the Legion Hall or something is what it said, what I read. Because people are always kind of hesitant, like, oh, the Pentecostal church, well, what's that all about? Do I want to check that out or not? I don't know. Maybe they're just hesitant. But there was a passion, there was a vision to see it happen. So I've titled my message this morning, 70 Years Young. Because as a church, we know that God still has so much more that He wants to accomplish through us. Amen? And that we are going forward in Jesus' name and in Jesus' power. Amen? To accomplish the goals that Jesus puts before us as His people. So we may have been here for 70 years. Now, I haven't been here for 70 years. There are some of you I know that have been here for 70 plus years, maybe on the coast. Maybe you've been here. I know, Carol, you've been at this church for how many years? 53 years. You've been here a long time. You've seen a lot. And I know there's others here that have been here many, many years. I'm sure I could start throwing up, you put up a hand if you've been here 20, 30, 40, long time. And so, we might be 70 years old, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be stuck looking back, right? We're not going to look back. Sometimes when someone is 70 years old, and I hope I'm never like that. Bill, you encourage me. You encourage me, because when you and I talk, I think you're a guy that says, yeah, I've still got something to do here. I'm still, you always remind me of somebody that's excited about life, not kind of looking back, going, oh, well, yeah, that was all good, and now this is just downhill. You encourage me. Every time we chat and stuff, you always have this kind of excitement about, yeah, life is good, and God is still good, and He's still in it, and I'm still a part of that. And so, we don't get stuck just looking back. It means that we're going to be looking forward. And now this mindset's not just unique to our church. In fact, it's actually quite a Pentecostal thing about being focused, about looking forward. Pentecostal churches all around the world believe that the Holy Spirit is always doing something fresh to reach into our hearts and lives and the lives of people outside of relationship with Jesus in our world. Like that's something that I've experienced, something that I've seen as I've been to many different Pentecostal churches across the country. And if you were here last Sunday, you would have heard Pastor Murray Cornelius talking about what God was doing all around the world. And I'm not sure if that's working or not, but I mentioned that because we did actually record the service last Sunday, and if you missed it, you can go on our website and listen to it. And so Murray just had an awesome talk about how God is at work through global missions all around the world and how the Spirit of God is at work, and it was incredibly encouraging. Were you encouraged by that last week? Yeah, it was so good to see what God's doing. He really talked about there's man's story and then there's God's story. And sometimes we get really, really focused on man's story, about all the things that are going on. And the reality is that God's at work in the midst of that. And even though we don't hear about some of those things in the news media or in all those other things, he shared these stories of how God's at work and amazing, miraculous things are happening through the power of the Holy Spirit. That to me is the Spirit at work. That's Pentecostalism, about going out, not being held back, about trusting God is at work through his people. There's a newness when we seek the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives and in our worship of God. Do you know that this morning? There's a newness when we seek the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, being 70 years young means that we continue to ask the Holy Spirit what's next. We continue to ask the Holy Spirit what's next. What do you want to do here in us? Where do you want us to go? You continue to ask that question. You don't say, well, here's what we do, and we're just going to keep doing that. No, we ask the Lord, God, what is it that is new? What are you stirring? What is it an area that you want us to go into? What are you doing personally in our lives as individuals? You see, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, because we are growing people, and the church is growing. Right? So I'm not just talking about numbers. I mean, we're growing in faith. We're growing in our walk with Jesus. We're growing in our maturity. And so we're constantly asking the Lord, God, speak to us. Help us to see, where are you leading me now? And how do I follow that? So there's that newness. We ask the Holy Spirit, continue to ask the Holy Spirit. You see, this is what brought me to beginning a new sermon series this morning titled, Why We Are a Pentecostal Church. Why We Are a Pentecostal Church. Now, I know that CLA is a Pentecostal church, has been the whole time it's been around here for the 70 years. But I also know that not all of you are from a Pentecostal background. If I asked you to raise your hand if where your church background is, there'd be quite a few people that would raise their hand and say, yeah, not from a Pentecostal background. And that's okay. That's totally okay, because this isn't going to be a series that tries to convince you that being Pentecostal is the only way to get to heaven. Now, that probably would have been preached at some point way back in the day. I'm sure some of you folks can maybe recall that, you know, there was this kind of thing about, oh, well, you know, if you're not this, then, you know, you're missing the boat. And that's kind of bizarre stuff to me. I remember hearing some of those things and thinking, really? Are we that, totally thinking that we've got it all figured out and all together, that we would say that we're the only ones? Come on. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Because God's sovereign, and God's heart is for all people, and he uses his church in great and different various ways. So that's not what this sermon series is about. It's not about trying to convince you that being Pentecostal and signing the dotted line is, you know, that's the only way to go. Not at all, because that would be a lie. There's only one name. There's only one name, only one person that we need to know for that to happen, and that's Jesus Christ. That's it. We need to know Jesus. And be a part of his church. And be a part of the church where you fit in. You see, this series is actually about helping us all to be on the same page. To understand what being part of a Pentecostal church means. Because even though you may be from varying backgrounds, we are still a Pentecostal church. And we're going to teach and preach and move in the direction that the Spirit leads as a Pentecostal church. So we're going to teach about why we believe what we believe. We're going to teach about why we emphasize what we emphasize, and it's going to be a great discussion. So no matter what your background is, know that it's all about Jesus. It's about his leading his church. You understand what I'm saying there? It's about his leading his church. Being part of the church is about being part of God's ongoing story and how he uses the church to be his hands and his feet. Amen? Amen. Why don't we take a minute? Let's just pray as we get into this. Father, we thank you this morning that you are so gracious and kind to us. You are patient and merciful. Lord, we thank you that there's a rich heritage and a rich history here, 70 years. We thank you for the other churches that have been here for many, many years. And we just pray that we would continue as your church on the Sunshine Coast, continue to preach your gospel. Lord, that other churches that would preach the Bible would continue to preach the gospel, preach the truth of the Bible, preach about who you are, and not hold back, not be timid, not be afraid, but be courageous. Because Jesus, you love your church, you love the bride, and you're coming back for your bride. You're coming back soon. Lord, restore a sense of urgency in us to know that you could come back at any time, and we want to be found worthy. We want to be found waiting for you, ready for you, busy about your work in the harvest field, not just looking out the windows of the church building, but being the church in and amongst the people of this place and inviting them into a presence, into your presence, into knowing you. We want to be about doing your work. We pray for the people that are on this Sunshine Coast who have had the gospel seed presented to them, that's maybe taken root in their lives. And God, you've watered that over the years. We pray, Lord, that those people who are ready for the harvest would be found by your people. We pray that we would be harvest workers, people that are called by your name to go and share the good news, to invite those who have been raised up, who have had the seed of the gospel planted in their life at some point, to invite them into relationship with you, to invite them into a place, God, where they are part of your family, a part of your church. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are doing your work. And God, we pray that until the day comes of your return, that we would be found doing your work, that we would be people of action. We would be a people that say, yes, Jesus, lead us. Jesus, strengthen us. Empower us, Holy Spirit, so we can do the work you've called us to do. And that we would do it with smiles on our face, with joy, not begrudgingly, but do it saying, yes, the Lord gives me strength. No matter how old I am, no matter how young I am, the Lord is my strength. And I will serve him all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us, Lord, I pray, through your word today. Amen. 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 So again, I already asked you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I'll read it for you. If you have your Bible, you can follow along or just listen. And this is what it says. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Let me read that again because it's a short verse and maybe you missed it. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. You see, Jesus says that his church is built on the rock. It is solid ground. It is built on solid ground. That it's not going to get shaken apart. It's not going to come apart. Difficulties may come. Challenges may come. But it's still going to stand. And, if you've been around here for a while, you know that churches go through all kinds of challenges. Our church has gone through challenges. Other churches on the coast have gone through all kinds of challenges and difficulties. And that's just par for the course. Because anytime you gather a bunch of people together, chances are you're going to run into some challenges, some difficulties along the way. The challenge in that is, how do you navigate those things as a leader? How do you navigate those things as a church? How do you submit yourselves and humble yourself and be transparent at the risk of maybe looking bad or, not protecting yourself, but being transparent and open so that there could be healing? Because in my estimation, a lot of the issues that we deal with in the church are issues of pride, that we don't want to fix this problem because, I've got my backup now and my pride is more important than unity in the church. Would any of you agree with me that can be an issue sometimes? These are the things that can happen. But God calls us to more than that. He calls us to more than that. That not one of us here is greater than the other. And that we're called to serve each other. We're called to be honest with each other. We're called to humble ourselves, not only before the Lord, but before each other. Amen? Where was I? Right. So for over 70 years, over the 70 years that Christian Life Assembly has been a part of this community, there have been many pastors, many different people that have been a part of this church family. I've met lots of people over the years, 4 years of being here, that said, yeah, I used to attend Christian Life Assembly, or I talked to someone else and say, oh, hey, do you know so? I try to introduce people. That's always funny when a small town, you know, hey, you know, I'll have Simeon will be with me. Oh, do you know Simeon? Simeon, this is so-and-so. Oh, yeah, we know each other. We go way back. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, I keep forgetting. I've only been here 4 years, and some people have been here a lot longer than that, and maybe they were in the same church together at one point or this or that. And so, yeah, you know, that's just the reality, right? So a lot of people know each other. There's a lot of different people that have been a part of this church family. And there have been different methods that have been used to reach the community. There have been different methods that have been used to disciple the people who follow Jesus here. But the goal always remains the same. So the methods may change, but the goal always remains the same. What's the goal? It is Matthew chapter 28, 19 to 20. It says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is also known as the Great Commission, or as I like to say, the Great Co-Mission. It's a co-mission. We're on mission with God. Amen? So over the past 70 years, the goal for CLA has been to help us to go to the nations around us. So to make Jesus famous in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our region, our country, in our world. That's been the goal of Christian Life Assembly. That's it. That's been the main focus. That's what you're a part of here. To make disciples by teaching the truth of the Bible and encouraging students of Jesus to be partakers of God's story and to grow into mature followers. That's the goal. To baptize in water as Jesus was baptized so that the world would know our commitment to follow Jesus and to be baptized and empowered in the Holy Spirit so that we would be set apart to be ready and used for His plans. Amen? You see, all of these things are done knowing that Jesus is with us every step of the way. He's with us every step of the way. And I love that. So for the next years, looking forward, we've been here 70. For the next years, looking forward, we're going to pray and ask God to continue to give direction to the life of His church. We will continue with this Great Commission focus. Because that's what God calls us to. If we stray from that, we're missing the mark. We're missing the point. We have to stay focused on His plans and His purposes. And we know that times change, and the methods of reaching and discipling change also. But the truth of God remains the same. Today, the mission statement is simple but bold: to discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. To discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. That's the mission statement, if you want to put it into three words or a few more there. You see, that is the filter that CLA will go forward in 2016 and onward. As Jesus leads His church, we believe that we are to ourselves, discover and help others to discover the heart of Jesus. That we will continue to declare the heart of Jesus to the nations. And that we will do both of those things by being practical in action and demonstrating the heart of Jesus that loves our community. Jesus loves our community. You got to believe that this morning. Because if you don't believe that, then again, it's hard to go out and share the gospel, isn't it? If you don't believe that Jesus loves our community. You see, to be in a Pentecostal church is to be actively involved in the life of His church. That's what it means to be in a Pentecostal church. Being actively involved in the life of His church. Each one of us giving of our talents. Each one of us giving of our time. Each one of us giving of our treasures to see the name of Jesus lifted up. First in our own lives and then in the church and the community that God has placed us in. You see, You and I, we are all here for a reason. We're here for a reason. God has placed you here because this is where He wants you. Like if you live in this area, if this is your home church, this is where God's placed you. He wants you here for a reason. He wants you to grow in Him. This is where He wants you to practice the gifts that He's graciously given you. You're here for a reason. Do you believe that this morning? You're here for a reason. And that means not only in the church, it means in this community. And I'll take it even a step further. It actually means that God you're here for a reason. He actually means even in this time. In this time. For God calls us for such a time as this. You see, friend, there are people that move here. Marvin and Don, good friends of ours from Delta days when we were at Delta, have moved to the Sunshine Coast. And it's always great to see you guys because it just reminds us of the good days that we had there. But you're here for a reason. Like, it's not just retirement. It's not just, you know, kicking back and chopping firewood for your house. I know. But not that I chop firewood. I know that you have a good neighbor that's pretty tough that does that. And so, but you're here for a reason. You're here in the church for a reason. You're here on the Sunshine Coast for a reason. Every one of us have probably come from somewhere. How many of you were born here? One, two, three. See that hand. Anyone else? There's a few people that were born here, but the rest of us have kind of come from other places, right? So we got to understand that God's brought us here not just for work or, you know, housing was cheap or something like that, or, you know, you just loved the ocean and so you had to be close to the ocean. Maybe those are some reasons. But the bigger picture is that He wanted you here for more than just that. Yeah, He did. It's a truth. He wanted you here for such a time as this. You know, we can look at a real-life example from the Bible when we look at the life of Esther. Esther, God called her for a greater purpose. I'll have it up on the screen here in a second, but if you look at Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, it says this, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther, don't think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this? You see, Mordecai makes a statement when he says to Esther, maybe you were made queen for just a time as this. She wasn't made queen just so that, oh, wow, look, she's the queen, and how cool of a story is that? No, it was for a purpose. It was for a reason. So God has given us everything that we need right here amongst His people. He's given us everything right here, right now amongst His. We have the gifts. We have the abilities and faith through God to do what He asks us to do for such a time as this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not about saying, well, we just have to wait until more talented people show up, and we just have to wait until our bank account gets to a certain amount so we can do this or do that. No, it's not about that. It's by walking in faith. It's by saying, yes, God, You are sovereign. You have planned all of these things well in advance. You've called every single person that's here for such a time as this. Well, what does that mean? You see, it's only our only choice is will or will we not choose to do that? Will we choose to use the gifts that God's given us? Will we choose to be a part of His good plans on the Sunshine Coast? See, sometimes we need to be reminded that we all have gifts and that we need to use them so that God will be glorified. So, as a Pentecostal church, we believe in the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and we believe in the participation of every member to see the mission accomplished. That's what we believe. Over the next few weeks, we are going to ask three key questions that relate directly to our mission statement to discover, declare, and demonstrate the heart of Jesus. And we're going to filter that through what it means to be in a Pentecostal church. So get your sermon notebooks if you don't have them. There are some notebooks out there. You can grab one or bring a notebook, bring some paper, because you're going to want to write some things down. And you're going to want to take that and go a little deeper with it in your own personal daily quiet times with God. So I want to encourage you to do that. Make sure you bring a notebook. Make sure you jot some things out. Because sometimes you can sit here and go, I kind of heard some of the things the pastor said, and now they're gone. That can happen. So when you bring something to write on and you write some notes, it really helps to retain those things because they're physically with you. And you can refer back and go, oh, yeah, right. Or you can write down, you know, yeah, you mentioned this, and this is the thought that came to mind. So you can kind of write that with it and then be able to reflect back. We taught that in our discipleship classes, right? Have your notebook with you. Make sure you're jotting that down. In your personal quiet times, have your notebook with you. Jot those things down that God's saying, what you're reading, and then jot those things down in the sermon because this is good stuff for you to grow in. So we're going to be in this series together, asking these questions, filtering it all through what it means to be in a Pentecostal church. So the first question that we're going to look at this morning relates to the active nature, of being in a Pentecostal church. You see, we believe in being doers of the word. We believe in being doers of the word. We don't believe that this is a place for you to just come and sit and hear some scripture and hear somebody talk about that and then just kind of walk away and think, wow, there's some food for thought and right on. Hopefully it's going to be good next week. Or I hope it's better next week, maybe you might say. But the reality is that we are called to be doers of the word. We believe as Pentecostals that it's about being doers of the word. Now, we're not the only church that believes that, but we do focus on that. Be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. You see, the best and most natural way to do the word of God is by using your spiritual God-given gifts. Do you realize that this morning? The best way, the most fulfilling way, the way that you'll feel most empowered and most joy is by using the gifts that God has given you to serve Him. So what are your spiritual gifts? What are these spiritual gifts? What are the spiritual gifts? To be able to demonstrate the heart of Jesus, we need to know our gifts. Now, there isn't a whole process that you're going to have to go through of, you know, going away for a week and going and climbing up on top of Soames Hill and sitting there and just saying, oh, God, show me the gifts. You don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to do that because you can just, you know, ask God to say, Lord, help me see the gifts that are already in me. Help me to use them. I know that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But they're already there. God gave them to you a long time ago. It's your choice to use those gifts. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. If you look at Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is a source of them all. I know that one of my spiritual gifts is a gift of encouragement and a gift of leadership. I know that those are spiritual gifts that God has given me and that I need to use those gifts and exercise those gifts and use them to encourage and lead others and to lead myself and to do that. And so I love to encourage and I love to be encouraged. And I believe in spirit-led leadership to bring together people and ideas to see great things accomplished. Because believe it or not, we can do a lot more together than we can just do on our own. Amen? So God uses these gifts. And I'm really happy that I can use those gifts and I can express those gifts and I feel joy when I get to do that. If I was to ask you some questions this morning, what things would resonate with you? So I'm going to ask you some questions and just listen carefully. And if you have notes, a notebook or something to jot this down, jot it down. Let me ask you some of these questions and just kind of, you know, if something resonates with you, hang on to that. Here's a question. I enjoy encouraging those, or I guess another question is a statement. I enjoy encouraging those who are discouraged and downtrodden or downhearted. I enjoy visiting the sick and shut in. I am known for my generosity and sometimes sacrificially give. I tend to look out for those who are neglected and alienated. I often give anonymously to those in need. If in a group where there is no leader, I will assume leadership. That's me. Sometimes that's not a good thing because you're not supposed to do that when there is actually a leader in the room. I'm very dependable for getting things done. I won't put my hand up for that. I am fulfilled by performing routine tasks in the church for God's glory. I believe I am very discerning or perceptive of other people's motives. I am willing to assume and invest in a long-term personal responsibility for the spiritual welfare of a group of believers. I am usually soft-spoken, not an upfront person. I believe salvation is the greatest gift of all, and I am driven to tell others about this gift. I want to teach a small group. And lastly, I believe in social justice and equality for everyone. So if one or a few of those things resonated with you, and you want to explore that further, let me share with you some of the different spiritual gifts that exist, the spiritual gifts that we see in the Bible that exist to help you and the church grow. And if there were a few things that resonated with you, write those down. Write those things down so that you can kind of be reminded and you can pray about it and think about that later. But let's talk about, for a few minutes, the different spiritual gifts that exist that can help you and help the church grow. Here's the first one, leadership. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Leadership aids the body by leading and directing members to accomplish the goals and the purposes of the church. Leadership motivates people to work together in unity towards common goals. If you were to look at Romans chapter 12, you can see it there, verse 8. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. That's a good word. Very straightforward. Next gift, administration. Persons with the gift of administration lead the body by steering others to remain on task. Administration enables the body to organize according to God-given purposes and long-term goals. You can look at 1 Corinthians 12, 28 there. It says, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have a gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. That's for administration and other things. Then there's teaching. Teaching is instructing members in the truths and doctrines of God's Word for the purposes of building up, unifying, and maturing the body. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Now, sometimes people split those last two up, pastors and teachers. Sometimes we try to put them together, pastors and teachers. And one, I'm not sure about that. Sometimes it seems like you can have very separated things that are pastors and teachers separated or together. Next thing is knowledge. The gift, spiritual gift of knowledge manifests itself in teaching and training and discipleship. It is a God-given ability to learn, to know, and explain the precious truths of God's Word. A word of knowledge is a Spirit-revealed truth. Another gift of the Spirit is wisdom. These are all things from the Bible, folks. I'm not making them up. This is wisdom. Wisdom is a gift that discerns the work of the Holy Spirit in the body and applies His teachings and actions to the needs of the body. And there's prophecy. And this one sometimes can be a popular one in Pentecostal churches in particular. Wow, that's a lot of P's. Yes, prophecy. The gift of prophecy is proclaiming the Word of God boldly. This builds up the body and it leads to conviction of sin. Prophecy manifests itself in preaching and teaching. Friends, prophecy should always be done for the building up of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, He gives one person the power to perform miracles, another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. Very biblical. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, in His grace, God has given us different gifts by doing certain things well. for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Another spiritual gift is discernment. Discernment aids the body by recognizing the true intentions of those within or related to the body. I pray for discernment often, probably almost every day. Lord, give me discernment so that I can discern what's really going on around me. Discernment tests the message and actions of others for the protection and the well-being of the body. We have to have discernment. Our leaders have to have discernment. Another spiritual gift is exhortation. Possessors of this gift encourage members to be involved in and enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. I like that that's added in there, right? It's not just being involved in, but be enthusiastic about it, right? Sometimes it's like, hey, come and be involved in the work of the Lord. Fine, I guess. I've got about 45 minutes before I have to go for lunch, so I can help for that amount of time. Like, that's not enthusiastic. We, you know, exhortation, and you know, the possessors of that, they encourage enthusiasm about the work of the Lord. Members with this gift are good counselors, and they motivate others to service. Exhortation exhibits itself in preaching, teaching, and ministry. Now, you can find that again in Romans 8, which we've already looked at. Another gift of the Spirit is shepherding. The gift of shepherding is manifest in persons who look out for spiritual welfare of others. Although pastors, like shepherds, do care for members of the church, this gift is not limited to a pastor or a staff member. You can have the gift of shepherding and a care for people. Another one is the gift of faith. Faith trusts God to work beyond the human capacities of the people. Believers with this gift encourage others to trust in God in the face of apparently insurmountable odds. Faith. I try to look at the cup as half full, not half empty. I have faith to trust that God is at work, even when things seem impossible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, the same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. Another gift of the Spirit is evangelism. God gives his church with evangelists to lead others to Christ effectively and enthusiastically. This gift builds up the body by adding new members to its fellowship. Christy Gow is a good example of an evangelist. I saw that gift in her very early when she was here. She just had a bunch of people with her that she'd bring, and people I'd never seen before. And I thought, Christy, who are these people? Oh, they're people I just invited to come to church. And she would do that week after week after week, and I thought, you have a gift of evangelism for sure. She just loves to share that and loves to invite people. So she just does that well. Another gift is apostleship. The church sends apostles from the body to plant churches or to be missionaries. Apostles motivate the body to look beyond its walls in order to carry out the Great Commission. Then there's a gift of services and help. Those with the gift of service and help recognize practical needs in the body and joyfully give assistance to meeting those needs. Christians with this gift do not mind working behind the scenes. God knows that we need lots of people that work behind the scenes. There are lots of people that work behind the scenes because we're all volunteer run. Mercy is another gift of the Spirit. Cheerful acts of compassion characterize those with the gift of mercy. Persons with this gift aid the body by empathizing with hurt members. They keep the body healthy and unified by keeping others aware of the needs within the church. I know people that are good at that here as well. Giving is a gift. Members with the gift of giving give freely and joyfully to the work and mission of the body. Cheerfulness and liberality are characteristics of individuals with this gift. Another is hospitality. Those with this gift have the ability to make visitors, guests, and strangers feel at ease. They often use their home to entertain guests. Persons with this gift integrate new members into the body. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. So there are the majority of the spiritual gifts there. And the key here is that we don't hear that or say, well, I'm going to pray for that specific gift. because I want that specific gift. That's not the point. That's not what we want you to be doing here. Instead, we need to be asking God to show us the gifts that he's put in us, right? Because, you know, I always encourage people seeking to discover their gifts to ask God to show them what seems naturally a part of who they are. What are the things they're naturally passionate about? Maybe that is tied to your spiritual gift, and that you can use that the way God intended you to use it. Now, hear me when I say this, and I'm drawing to a close here. Hear me when I say this. There is an element of trial and error, okay, when discovering our spiritual gifts. I find sometimes we try to focus or we try to force something to be a spiritual gift because we want that particular gift rather than encouraging towards the gift that God's already given us. And usually that results in a lot of frustration. So pay attention. Pay attention. Listen. Notice the things that energize you and seem to come naturally. How many of you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire? I know it's a really old movie. I don't even think I've seen all of it. But in Chariots of Fire, there's a guy named Eric Liddell, and he explains to his sister why he's postponed his return to the mission field in order to run in the Olympics. Because he said this. He said, because when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. You see, every spiritual gift gives off clues. Your spiritual gift will cause you to react in a certain way in a given situation. If there's a problem, people with the spiritual gift of shepherding will immediately be concerned that people are cared for and growing in Christ-likeness as a result of the issue. Those with the gift of intercession or prayer will immediately say, we need to pray about this. With those with a leadership gift, they'll begin to look at solutions for the problem. Right? So those are all the different ways. Dan, if you would just come and with the worship team, I want to encourage you this morning to try. I want to encourage you this morning to try. Once you've gathered enough information to create a list of some possible gifts, perhaps there are gifts of mercy or evangelism or encouragement or hospitality. You've got to be careful when you use that word because you don't want to say hostility. I have the gift of hostility. No, I guess a gift of hospitality. You need to exercise your options. Hey? Exercise your options. A great place to start would be to volunteer in the church to use your gifts. You know, while you're trying it out, you'll start to discern whether or not you're good at it. And also, others will tell you. At least they should. So let's have a heart that's open to learning and growing and not getting offended when that happens. Amen? Why don't you stand with me this morning if you can? We are a Pentecostal church. We are a Pentecostal church. So what does that mean for us today? We are 70 years young as a church. God is at work in our midst, and he wants every gift to be operating so the body would be built up and equipped for such a time as this. Amen? You see, our gifts are all equal. Our gifts are all equal. No gift is greater than the other. No gift is greater than the other. You may think that those who lead or are up front have greater gifts. Yet the truth is that having a gift of hospitality, to have others in your home or to offer warm greetings with a smile as people arrive to church is just as important. In fact, it's more important. Because, you know, for the example of people that come into the church, the first person they see and the words that person has to say or the smile that or the warmth that person exhibits actually will set the tone for the rest of that time that they're going to have. And friends, I've unfortunately been to too many churches where that person never should have been a greeter. That was the biggest mistake that church made because that was not their gift. So every gift is equal, and every gift is important in the life of the church. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to be operating in our gifts. As a Pentecostal church, we value building the body with everyone being encouraged to discover and practice their spiritual gifts. Will you be part of God's plan? Will you be part of God's plan? I'm going to leave you with that. We're going to close with worship. And I encourage you again, please, this week, pray about this. Ask God, God, what are the gifts in me? And how can I exercise those gifts? Because if you don't use them, you can lose them. So use the gifts that God's given you. Amen?